You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 415. Today is February 7th. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going great. It's been a crazy day. Been gone for the last couple days. Went out to Boston, so been trying to recover at work today and try to cover recruiting. And so, yeah, it's been busy.
So we the final signing day, the February signing day, has come and gone. And we're talking about the new signees Notre Dame did pick up, new signees. And then also Notre Dame, there was interviews with a lot of the assistant coaches, including Clark Lee, Jeff Quinn, and Tom Reese. So a lot of new faces that we got to hear for the first time. And so we'll discuss that too. But let's start with recruiting, talking about who Notre Dame picked up and if they were able to meet some of the needs that were left over from the early signing period.
Yeah, Notre Dame finished out strong. I think last week I predicted they'd pick up three more guys. Well, they did better than that.
I think you said four. I thought I had said three.
Okay, maybe.
Or did I say two and you said three?
I thought it was two and three, but
maybe it was two and three.
But things definitely seemed to pick up and head in Notre Dame's direction last week. There was some, there was potential even getting more commitments than what they got, but they did very good, finished strong, and didn't lose any commitments. I will say, watching some of the commitments today, there was a guy. Jacob Copeland was making his decision, had his hats picked out. He had Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida. His mom sitting beside him she had an Alabama sweater on and a Tennessee hat. Fairly obvious she's not a Florida fan. Anyways, he goes and picks up the Florida hat and puts it on, and she just gets up and walks out.
Like, did she look angry, or did she just look?
Yeah. So obviously he's not listening to his mom on that one. But anyways, Notre Dame had a good day, even had a surprise commitment. They were basically down to eight or nine guys that they were still recruiting, and Notre Dame picked up five. So very good day for Notre Dame.
So I think the position groups that were picked up were O-line, wide receiver, running back, and cornerbacks. So let's talk a little bit about what some of the glaring weaknesses were after the early signing day period. And then talking about how some of those were filled. So offensive line was that was one of the concerns. Notre Dame had picked up two offensive linemen in the early signing period, and then after the early signing period, they were able to pick up. Or sorry, they had one.
Cole Mabry.
Yeah, they had one offensive line commit, and they picked up two more after that. So that was huge. And you want to talk about those two?
They also picked up John Dirksen. They have a total of four now. Cole Mabry and John Dirksen both signed with Notre Dame in the early signing period, and now you picked up two more.
Okay. I thought there was four, and then I was looking at it, and then I just didn't see it, but yeah. Yes. Okay.
And, Luke Jones had been committed to the class. He committed to Notre Dame soon after the early signing period, and everyone was worried that he would decommit because of Harry Hiestand leaving. But instead of losing him, they signed him. He stayed with the class, and they added another offensive lineman today in Jarrett Patterson.
And I think he's the highest ranked of the group, of the offensive line group.
Yeah, he's a 6'5", 285-pound lineman and from California. So he was down. He was UCLA. Some people thought he would end up at UCLA, but he decided to pick Notre Dame. Very smart decision there. But he did sign with Notre Dame today. So Notre Dame finished with four offensive linemen, and which was good. They needed that, especially with some of the things that happened this spring. A couple of linemen transferred, and obviously losing McGlinchey and Nelson. So they needed to add four guys that, and they did a good job considering their new higher at the offensive line.
And then, okay, one of the other issues in this class, or it became an issue, was at the running back position with, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Deion McIntosh or C.J. Holmes. Notre Dame did pick up another running back.
Yeah, they needed another guy, and this has been trending Notre Dame's direction. Everybody kind of expected this, but Sebo Flemster did decommit from Georgia Tech. He hadn't done it today, but he flipped his commitment to Notre Dame. 5'11", 197 from Georgia. And as far as stats, he put up some of the best stats in the country, but his competition wasn't the greatest. But Autry Denson was asked who he would compare him to, and he compared him to O.J. Simpson and Marcus Allen. So, whether you like the O.J. Simpson, he was referring to the football part. So, but basically he was saying that he's a throwback running back. Like, he just runs hard. He runs north and south. Brian Kelly mentioned that as well. And he knows how to run the ball. So, very good pickup and a guy that I think can contribute. It wasn't like Notre Dame just tried to add a body. I think Flemster will actually contribute and be a good running back at Notre Dame. He's only listed as a 3-star, and that concerns people. They're like, they just picked up another guy. But no, he fits in at Notre Dame, and they need a guy with his talent.
Yes, it was a position of need. I'm glad they were able to get him.
Yeah.
And then the other position, wide receiver, I mean, EQ leaves after his junior season, and you've got Kevin Steverson not with the program. And so they did have three commitments, or they had three signees in the early period, which is a nice number, but because there's so much uncertainty who's going to step up, I'm glad they were able to pick up a fourth one. And from what it looks like, it was a pretty nice pickup.
Yeah, 4-star wide receiver Lawrence Keys III. He's listed as 5'10 and a half, 160, and he's from New Orleans, Louisiana. So that is big, getting him out of Louisiana. Notre Dame did good with him, Michael Young, you know, some other guy that probably helped with that. But huge pickup for Notre Dame. Notre Dame is definitely looking for speed, and here's a guy that has speed. Dell Alexander, in his press conference today, said that he could make a defender miss in a phone booth. So he's very good at running routes, cutting. I mean, if a defender takes the wrong angle on him, they're not going to catch him. So they're adding a lot of speed with him, and adding him to the guys that they already have, Braden Lindsey and some of the other guys. This is big, and they'll have a chance to compete.
They will, because
especially this spring with Claypool likely being out for the spring, and so big time pickup for Notre Dame, and they're obviously wanting receivers, which seems crazy. We're talking about how many scholarship receivers they had last year. Was it at 12? But there's even talk of moving. They're going to try out Joe Wilkins, who signed at the early signing period. As a cornerback, he might get some reps at wide receiver. So,
which most of these guys won't get a chance to compete here in the spring, but yeah. Either way, it's not like there will be opportunity this fall, I do think, for a surprise. All right, then the other position group was a tight end, or cornerbacks, two cornerbacks signed with Notre Dame.
Yeah, the first one was DJ Brown, 6'1", 185 from Washington, D.C., and he was kind of expected to sign with Notre Dame, 3-star corner. And, he's ranked 4. National ranking is pretty low. But Notre Dame loved adding him to the class. And then they added a second guy in Noah Boykins. Now, this was kind of a surprise. Many expected him to sign with Virginia. Some people were – the crystal ball. I followed the crystal ball. Some people were even switching it to Virginia today, in the last couple days. So this was a surprise for Notre Dame. It seemed like it was going in the wrong direction. But he did pick Notre Dame, signed with them, 4-star cornerback, 6'2", 170.
Big cornerback.
And also from Washington, D.C. So DJ Brown was from St. John's College High School, and Noah Boykin is from Woodson High School. So, all of a sudden, it looks like Notre Dame has quite a few cornerbacks, but it gives them a chance to possibly have guys take reps at safety, kind of move guys to where they fit the best. They have some room. They have some guys to play with, move around and see where it works. And they did a good job in this class.
They have a lot of defensive backs overall, but a lot of them, they only had, was it just one last year, DJ Morgan? No, he'd been a few years ago. But
yeah, they haven't
signed. They didn't have that many last year.
It's kind of been feast or famine.
Yeah.
They feasted this year.
The 1 year they had a ton. Julian Love.
I think there was six. I think
five
that
or
year.
Six, yeah. Yeah. So it's good that they picked up a handful. Hopefully they can be a little more consistent. Don't need to get, you know, a quarter of the class being one position group.
So there you have it. They have five more guys committed today, which is big. Notre Dame doesn't seem to land a lot of guys on signing day, but they got commitments from five guys, and they had a sixth guy in Luke Jones signing with Notre Dame, so they added six more to the class. And now the scholarship numbers, everybody's worried about that. All of a sudden they're at 89 scholarships, but Brian Kelly doesn't seem worried with that. He said they'll be at 85 by the time school starts, and he said his goal is to have improved the talent from scholarship 65 to 85. Because it seems right now those guys, they give them scholarship, but there's guys that never contribute much on the field on game day, but they're working on their depth, and they're doing a good job of it.
Okay, let's talk.
Well, I'll just throw this out. Some of the guys they missed on. Derek Eason was basically a silent commit. He was a silent commit to Notre Dame. He had visited and was playing all along. Something changed. I don't know what happened. Everybody predicted him to Notre Dame, but he did end up staying with North Carolina State, defensive lineman. And then Nicholas Petit-Frere, the five-star offensive lineman that everybody wanted that would have completely changed this class. It looked like he was going to sign with Notre Dame, but then I think he signed with Ohio State. I think the one thing that could have changed with that is that there was rumors of their offensive coordinator, total blank on his name right now, going to the Patriots, taking a job at the Patriots, but the Patriots are up to Patriot things, and their offensive coordinator decided to stay instead of joining the Colts after he had told them that he was joining the Colts, and they had set up a press conference. He is staying, and so they're still up to their way, the Patriot ways. And I think this was part of it.
I feel like their number one purpose is just to screw over the Colts.
Yeah, well, I will say this. Being in Boston the last couple days, it was so nice to walk around and see. I mean, I kind of felt bad with you, but just the sadness that everyone had. That, like, so many people have Patriots gear on, and they were all talking about how sad they are, and it's a sad day in Boston, and everybody just walking around. Kind of, it was good to see that. The Patriots have caused a lot of pain over the year. I do not like them at all. But anyways, so Nicholas Petit-Frere did sign with Ohio State, and that was kind of a surprise there at the end. But I think that could have changed if that was had a lot to do with coaching, because Ohio State I had the name right there. Anyways, their coach actually coached him when he was younger. I think their kids went to school together, so he has a very good connection with them. Is it Greg Schiano?
You mean the offensive coordinator for Ohio State?
Yeah.
Kevin Wilson is the offensive coordinator.
It's not Kevin Wilson. Who's Schiano? Anyways, we don't want to give Ohio State any airtime, but there was a connection there, and I think that's what led him to signing with Ohio State. It's their defensive corner, Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Solomon Tuilalapupu, whatever you want to say is, he did not commit to Notre Dame as well. So, but Notre Dame did very good today, and fans should be happy with the guys they signed, with the class they had. This is one of the best class they've had in a long time.
All right, let's just go through the different press conferences from the assistant coaches that Notre Dame had, and you can watch all these on YouTube or on Notre Dame's app. I like watching on YouTube because you can change the playback speed and skip through intros or skip backwards really, really easily if you want to. But let's start with the offensive line. We're talking about them quite a bit already. Jeff Quinn, I'm much more comfortable with it now than I was at first. And even hearing Chip Long, it sounded like his comfort level with Quinn also played a role in Jeff Quinn being named the offensive line coach.
Well, he mentioned how Jeff Quinn was in on all the, he was very involved with the tight ends and was in on all those meetings, and they have had a great working relationship, and so they know exactly what's expected. And I think it's going to be I'm sure that played in or factored into the decision to hire him. And Jeff Quinn also mentioned that, you know, he's going to keep that run for, he knows Chip Long wants to run the ball, mm-hmm. and that's going to be his philosophy.
Yeah, I never bought in from the beginning that, oh, well, Jeff Quinn coached this spread offense, this up-tempo, pass-happy offensive line offense, and that because of that, he was just not going to be a good fit, and I don't think that is going to be the case. He did mention he hit the recruiting trail pretty hard, or called his guys, his offensive linemen, after he was named the O-line coach, and so he seems to be willing to do what it takes there as far as in the recruiting realm. I don't know how, I mean, this was just, you know, his first go around.
Hey, he kept the offensive lineman that was committed. He kept him in the class and added another one.
Mm-hmm. Anything more from Jeff Quinn?
No, not really.
Let's go over to Elston. He was asked what what it means to be the associate football coach versus the assistant head football coach. And he did say that it is different. There's a couple of things. He's more involved with the hiring process now. He's more involved with meetings with the athletic director and assistant athletic director, and more things outside of football-specific programs, or things that have to do specifically with football program. And I do think, I mean, he's definitely being groomed, I mean, or not groomed, he's being prepared for a head coaching job soon.
Yeah.
I mean, if Brian Kelly would be quitting here in the next 2 years, I would not be shocked if Elston would be a legitimate option. But I think probably after 2 years, he's probably going to, if Brian Kelly is still here, he's probably moving on to take on a head coaching position somewhere. And that I don't think he should be the head football coach at Notre Dame for his first head coaching job. I would want to bring someone that has done it before, but I do think he'd probably be considered.
Yeah.
Elston, anything more from the Elston interview?
He mentioned some changes, like they're expecting to switch Jerry Tillery, and Jonathan Bonner's expecting to flip, with Jonathan Bonner being the nose tackle and Jerry Tillery being the three tech. So he did mention that.
And he talked about recruiting them back to Notre Dame. And I believe it was
him. He mentioned how he liked the early signing period, which gave him a chance to recruit these guys.
Yeah. And he said if these two guys would have been, or if Tillery would have been a first-round prospect, then he would have been there packing his bags, he said.
Yeah.
But there are things that he can work on, and things that Brian Kelly and Elston talked to with Jerry Tillery to show him some things that he can work on to improve his draft stock to become a first-round pick. And he made it sound like Brian Kelly even contacted GMs and coaches from around the NFL and to find out where they had Tillery pegged as far as being drafted. So I do think, and I think it's good to do that, always be transparent. And you want to keep a very good relationship with your players. I mean, even if it might mean the honest truth might get them to go, they might end up leaving with the truth.
Yeah, Brian Kelly's done a good job the last couple of years of doing that. And I think players appreciate that.
But I didn't know he went above and beyond just the NFL grade coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We had touched on Denson. Anything more from him that you wanted to touch on?
They did mention that Mick Asaph will be practicing as a running back, the walk-on, which we had kind of referred to that before because he had tweeted something out. Brian Kelly had retweeted it when there was talk about only having three scholarship running backs. So that is, you know, that's another guy to watch for in the running back depth.
And then Coach Lee. There's two different videos with Lee. The one is a one-on-one interview with Jack Nolan, and it's interesting. Talks a little bit about how he felt, if he felt worthy about being named the defensive coordinator. And I do like Clark Lee, and I do find it interesting that with both of the, with two of the three hires, they did stay within the program, and it was about continuity and keeping going what was going. And Clark Lee said that they're going to keep on going with the defense they had. He said defenses do evolve, and they'll go back and look at the film from this past season, and they'll make adjustments where they saw that there was weaknesses or flaws. But he is schematically and philosophically aligned with what with the defensive system that is currently in place. And the personalities of Clark Lee and
Mike Elston.
And Mike Elston. No, not Mike Elston.
I mean, we forget
his
name.
He's gone
already.
And can't remember his name
Mike
already.
Elko.
Is drastically different. And we talked about this earlier. I don't think it matters as long as it's genuine and the coach is able to motivate the team and the players. Anything more from Clark Lee?
No.
And then Poyan. Anything you wanted to hit on with his press conference?
I didn't actually see his.
And then Alexander. Or I guess we did talk a little bit about Alexander.
Well, he mentioned the wide receivers. He talked about, you know, the speed that these guys have. And I want to see Lawrence Key make somebody miss in a phone booth. So.
All right. I think that's all we got then. Was there anything from the NFL?
No, there was a couple guys that Jeff Quinn, there was two guys that Jeff Quinn had coached that were on the Eagles team that he was tweeting out about.
Yeah.
But
he mentioned it, but I don't remember what their names were.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl. It's like, you know what, I don't care about the NFL. I'm tired of all the nonsense. I did not watch the Super Bowl.
It was a good game. I watched it.
Oh, I know. I watch football for entertainment. I'm tired of all the political and everything else. They're supposed to be my entertainment.
Well,
and I don't want to watch ESPN. I don't want to hear anything about politics and players' views about this and that. I just want to watch football. That's why I like college football, because it's college football and everyone involved is talking about football.
Well, from what I saw from the
and
NFL,
so I'm doing everything I can to take the NFL's numbers down.
Well, I don't know if one person, well, if everyone does it, yeah, it'll make a difference.
The ratings were down.
But from what I saw, it was not, there wasn't a whole lot of politics involved.
From what
I saw. And even from what I heard about people that were at the Super Bowl.
There was stuff about the ads, but yeah. But I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to add, football and politics don't go together.
Well, we've had people complain about our podcast and the ads that we're playing on here.
Well, we're not in control of that.
All right, that's all we've got. Hope you guys had a more pleasant Super Bowl Sunday than Randall.
Hey, I will say the one part about it, I was flying into Boston and I saw all the misery after the Super Bowl. So.
All right, thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week to talk some more Notre Dame news. Join the forums if you want to talk Notre Dame football. Yeah. Keep the topics going. Forums.irishsportstalk.net.
I will say this. The last place, right before we flew out yesterday for lunch, we stopped and ate at an oyster bar, which is the oldest restaurant in America. And we're sitting around a little bar, they have oyster on the half shell. And the two guys right beside us, one guy's got an old Irish jersey on. And they're like, oh, yeah, I had my Notre Dame hat on. I'm like, you're a Notre Dame fan? I'm like, oh, yeah. And so we talked. I mean, they're big-time Notre Dame fans. One of them lived in Mississippi, I believe he said, and the other one had lived in Indiana. actually went to Purdue, even though he was a big Notre Dame fan. But I believe he moved out to Boston, and now his friend was up there visiting him. But they come up to a game. The one from Mississippi comes up to at least one game every year.
Oh, wow.
So, good times. You can go all over and meet Irish fans.
That's true. So. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.